Man, I like what I feel. Just keep worshiping in church. If you've got your Bibles, I'm going to be in the book of John, chapter 21. Be turning there, if you will. And this is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Peter decides that he's going to go back and go fishing. We find in verse number 2. And Peter decides that he's going to go back to doing what he knows how to do best. Brother Dave, and he don't just go by himself. He takes six others with him. And they fished all night. They caught nothing. And Jesus appeared to them, for we find out in the scriptures a little bit later on, for the third time now since the resurrection. And he asked them, "Children, have you any meat?" He tells them to cast their net on the right side. You know, it's always good advice to do right. The world will tell you to do wrong, but Jesus will always tell you to do right. Go ahead and cast your net on the right side, and they end up catching more fish than what they could get in. They didn't know at this time, at this point, who was talking to them. You know, there are still people in the church that they don't feel what we feel. They don't see what we see. I felt the presence of the Lord here already today. There's some people that will come to church and feel and sit in the same place where we're sitting, and they don't feel the same thing we just felt. They don't see the same things working and happening that we see working and happening. I'm thankful that we got a church that people will still respond. They can still feel, and they know what they feel. They know it's real. This is not make-believe. This is not put on. We're not going to teach you how to do this in a classroom. But it's an experience that you can have, a personal experience, that you know that what I've got is real. Because I can feel it down in my soul. So when they get to the shore, he starts preparing the fish and he tells them to come and dine. You know, one day we'll eat at the marriage supper of the Lamb. By the way, that's what this passage is tied to. Could you imagine eating a meal that Jesus prepared? You talk about biscuits that he bakes. And I know that's always dangerous for a preacher to talk about food right before on a Sunday morning. But I can just imagine the spread that he's going to have laid out there. After they get through eating at this time, and we pick up the conversation in verse number 15. And he says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' And he saith unto them, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee.' And he saith unto him, 'Feed my sheep, feed my lambs.'" Now wait just a minute. If you remember like I remember, Simon Bar-Jonah is not Peter's name. Do you remember when Jesus encountered Peter? And he asked him the question, "Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some other Jeremiah, or Elijah or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to him, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And then listen to what he said to him next. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What just happened? Jesus just changed his name from Simon Bar-Jonah to Peter. Now, this is after the resurrection. And he changed his name back to Simon Bar-Jonah. You know why? He went back to his old lifestyle. He went back to his old way of living. Boy, you know that had to cut deep to the heart. This is not who I told you was. You are not a fisherman of fish. You are a fisherman of men. Upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And Peter, you can't do it going back to your old lifestyle. And then he said in verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas," well, there's that name again, "lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." And he saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus said unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had thus spoken, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about and seeing the disciples whom Jesus loved following. By the way, I'm going to stop right there just a minute. That always bothered me. For John to be considered the disciple that Jesus loved. He had 11 others. Until I got to realizing one day that I'm the pastor that Jesus loves. I'm the preacher that Jesus loves. No offense, Sister Donetta, but my sister back there. But I'm his favorite one out of mom and dad's children. I hope you understand what I'm saying. John felt like that he was his only child. I know God loves my sister as much as he loves me. Well, and I know he loves you as much as he loves me, but I feel like I'm the one that he loves. By the way, this is the book of John. He's writing an autobiography. And he said, "Which also leaned on his breast at supper." I feel like I can take my cares to Jesus anytime. "And said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" And Peter, seeing him, saith unto Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Peter has now failed. He's not kept his word. He done exactly the opposite of what he had promised that he would do. He is now having, for the first time since he has failed, a personal conversation with the Lord. Since the time of his shame and his guilt has come into his life, he is now talking one-on-one with the Master. Jesus asked him some soul-searching questions. Now, I'm going to get this out of the way before I go any further. It's possible to follow the Lord without loving Him. It's possible to know songs and to sing His praises without loving Him. It's even possible to preach His gospel without loving Him. I didn't say it would be anointed preaching, but it's possible to preach. I read in Scripture where there was some that said, did we not cast out devils in your name? But I will tell you this. It is impossible now, to love the Lord and to know the Lord and not follow Him. If you love Him and you know Him, it is impossible for you not to follow Him. I believe you're here this morning because you're concerned about following Jesus. He asked the same question three times. I've read some commentaries that said that he was just trying to agonize Peter. I don't believe that for a moment. I don't really want to bore you this morning, but when we talk about love, we have one word for love. The Greek had primarily, they had multiple words, but primarily four that we find in our Bible. And you know, I love my wife differently than I love my children. I love my children maybe differently than I love my truck, my dog, my job. You see, in the Greek, love is not all the same. There is eros, which where we get the word erotic from. It's love that is a physical, a passing moment. Then there's a love that it's a storge. It's a natural type of love. It's a type of love that I have that I talk about loving my dog or my animals, my house. That's a storge type of love. And then there's a filial love that is a brotherly love. It reciprocates. A love you have for your closest of friends. We love Him because He first loved us. There's some of you today that I've seen that told each other, brother, I love you. That's a filial type of love. You love each other because it's a reciprocating, they love you back. And then we have an agape love. That is a self-denying love. a love that is, it's a love that is emptying, an unconditional type of love that loves regardless of situations or circumstances. For God so loved the world, that's agape love, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But God condemneth not the love, condemneth His love toward us. That's agape love. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even if you don't love Him back, even if you don't follow Him and you don't serve Him, if you're the worst criminal, the worst sinner in the world, God still loves you. That's agape love. So really, we could categorize this as agape love is unconditional. Filial love is conditional, where agape is unconditional. Storge is a natural love, and Eros is a fleeting or a passing love. He asked Peter the question, "Lovest thou me more than these?" The first time that he asked him that question, it was the agape love. Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Peter answers him and says, I love thee with a filial love. I love you as much as I love any other man. I love you for what you've done for me. I love you for who you are and for the fact that I know you love me. He asked him the second time. Peter, that's not what I'm asking you. Do you love me with agape love, unconditional love? And Peter answers with filial love. He asked him the third time. And Christ changes it up a little bit. And he says, Peter, do you love me with filial love? And Peter answers and says, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. And then Jesus begins to prophesy about his death. You know, that's something that's uncomfortable with a lot of people to talk about dying, but you're going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. How much do you love him? Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There's a lot of people that try to keep the commandments, but I'll tell you, it's much easier if you love him. If you have the right kind of love, it's hard not to live right. If you have the right kind of love, it's hard not to worship right. If you have the right kind of love, it's not hard to treat your brother right. If you have the right kind of love, it's not hard to give right. It's not hard to pray right, to think right. He starts talking about went from talking about the present to talking about the future. If you follow out of love, because if not, there's three things that will happen And I know it's getting late, and I won't keep you much longer. But number one, you'll find out the influence. You go back to verse number two. Peter decided, I'm going to go fishing. Nothing wrong with fishing. But Peter went back to his old lifestyle and took six others with him. If you don't have the right kind of love, you're going to have some influence. There's going to be some casualties along the way. You're going to have some family members that you're going to influence, whether you do it intentionally or not. They're going to follow you fishing. You say, well, I don't want to go to church. I think I'm going to stay home today. Guess what? You got some children that are likely going to say, I'm just going to stay home with mom or I'm going to stay home with dad. There is some influence that you're going to have. And you're going to wait till they get about 21 years old and wild and sowing their oats in the world and come to the preacher and say, why didn't you tell me? I'm telling you. You got influence. Your friends, your family, you carrying your Bible under your arm, getting in your car on Sunday morning, that is a testimony to your neighbors. You stay at home and see how many people notice. He's given up on the Lord. He's given up on hope. Number two, regardless of the cost, if you love the Lord, you're going to serve Him regardless of the cost. Now, don't get me wrong. Salvation is 100% free. But it's going to cost you to serve the Lord. There's going to be some sacrifices that you have to give up. Maybe some meals that you have to push away from the table and say, Lord, I'm going to set this aside. I'm going to do some praying and fasting. It's going to cost you. But let me remind you that the cost will always be worth the payday. There's a reward that's coming. The payday is always greater than the cost. You know, he says here in verse number 19, let me go back and read that. He said, this spake he, signifying by what death he should, listen, here's the key to it, glorify God. I want to live my life to glorify God. When I die, I want to glorify God. You know, there's a lot of people that will live their life, and the way they live their life typically is the way that they end their life. You don't usually live like the devil and then glorify God at your death. You don't live your life in fear all of your life. And by the way, fear is a spirit. It's a spirit of fear. You don't live your life in fear and then on your deathbed be the most faithful person in the world. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You don't all of a sudden live in fear and then all of a sudden have faith. And thirdly, I want you to look at something else with me. Peter looks at John. In verse number 22, and Jesus saith, let's just back up here just a minute. Verse 21. And Peter seeing him saith, he's talking about John here. Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, and Lord, What shall this man do? He's pointing to John. What about him? You're talking about me, talking about my death. What about this man? And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, and he put it just as politely as he could, what is that to thee? In other words, Peter, if you love me, you worry about Peter. You let John worry about John. You know, I'm going to get myself in trouble this morning, but I'm good at that. There is a theology that has crept into the church. And actually in so many churches nowadays that they no longer have Wednesday night service. Well, you know, the Lord understands we need to spend some family quality time together. God understands, you know, I'm trying to reach my family for the lost. I'm trying to be a witness to them. And, you know, it's important that we have a tight-knit family. We're bonded and we're close together. You've got every other day of the week to do that. Jesus actually taught the very opposite. If you love your family more than me, he told us to forsake our family, take up our cross, and follow him. We see the influence regardless of the cost. And regardless of what others do. Peter, do you love me? We're in the age, I believe, of the great falling away. We're there. We need to make up our mind. Am I going to follow him? The whole essence of this message is this, is how much do we love him? The question is not, how's others with the Lord? But the question this morning is, how is it with me and the Lord? Is it well with my soul? We're in a falling away. Are you going to follow? Or are you going to give in? Come back to the music if you will. Brother Hubbard, you just don't know my circumstances. The disciples had just lost the Savior. They had lost their best friend, the one who had opened blinded eyes and performed miracle after miracle. And now they are faced with his departure. I can't imagine a situation getting any worse than that. And someone that you love more than anyone in the world. I know you love your spouse, but I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the one that walked among them, that talked with them, that communed with them. And just like that, he was gone. I'm not condemning Peter for going back and doing what he done. I may have done the same thing in my situation. but how much do you love Him?